Hey, welcome to Nav Church Online. We're so appreciating that you're tuning in, finding out a little bit more about us. I know there's a lot of you that watch all the time, but let's be honest, most of you are watching right now because we're doing church where you are. And I know that may sound weird for most people because we think of church as a physical building coming to one location. But I just need to let you know that you are the church. If you're out there and you're a follower of Christ. So here's the first thing I'm going to ask you to do. Where are you watching from this from today? And if you're in this area and you just want to say my house, my living room, if you want to tell us our town. But the thing I would love to know is who's watching from the greatest distance? So especially if you're in another state right now, just right here while you're watching, click on, let us know where you're watching from. And as you're watching, I want to say this. I want to thank the band that was able to provide worship for us today. Not only are they providing worship for you, they're providing a live studio audience for me. I've always wanted to say the phrase live studio audience, and I was able to do that, so I appreciate it because it, for me, just to talk to you through the camera the whole time, I'm not sure how exciting that would be, so I appreciate them just continuing to serve us as a church, and they're continuing to serve us as we continue our conversation on the miracle of mercy. Here's what I've loved about these bookmarks. These bookmarks are an easy thumbnail reminder of what we talked about week in and week out, and so the very first week, we actually talked about what? The five marks of mercy, what we're going to be talking about during this entire conversation. But it also gave us a time to remember and reflect the mercy that was given us. You guys probably know this to be true. I know this is true. If I don't know the value of it, then I'll never appreciate it, what I have to give away or that which I've had. And so to be able to reflect back on when God mercied me. And then week number two, here it is again. Mercy forgives the fallen. Here's a great, great sentence for you out of 1 Corinthians. Love keeps no record of wrong. Pastor Brent did a great job of talking about the servant who was forgiven of his debt, but he wouldn't forgive someone else. And so here's my 2-second talk on what this sermon was all about. Ready for this? It's the difference between pity, grace, and mercy. All these words get used all the time together and as we study the Bible, and they get mixed up. Pity is when you just feel bad for someone. Grace is when you're willing to approach them. But mercy, what we're talking about here, is when you take from who you are, take from what you have to actually give to someone else. And so in that parable, we actually talked about mercying someone else. And then last week, Pastor Aaron talked about mercy helps the hurting. And man, I thought the previous week's scripture was so good. This week's scripture was awesome. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind. Mercy helps the hurting. Or can we say this? Mercy gets your hands dirty. You know, it's one thing to give from a distance. It's one thing to have pity from afar. It's one thing to say, oh, I wish I could help them and maybe feel grace for them. There's a whole different story when you start getting your hands dirty and mercying someone. So that is actually the essence of what mercy is all about. When we talk about getting in someone's mess, when we talk about taking from the essence of who we are and actually pouring out that which we have of our own to give to someone else. But today's kind of interesting. Because today we're talking about, and here's the exact thing, if you're on page 82 of your book, if you don't have a book, you can in our app, you can follow with today's sermon notes. It's mercy is patient with difficult people. And so I want to kind of frame our conversation today because we're going to talk about difficult people, and we probably all have them. In a second, I'm going to tell you about mine, and I want to hear about yours. But when it comes to mercy is actually the act of giving to someone. But the question is, what happens if God puts someone on your heart that drives you nuts? And by the way, if you're sitting out there, if you're watching us, if you're with me right now, it will happen. If you don't think it'll happen, say this prayer. God, I don't think you can make that happen. Like, just set them up. Just go ahead and say that prayer, see what happens. But what happens if God has put someone on your heart, not just so you pity them, feel bad for them, not that you have grace upon them and that you'll draw near to them, but literally mercy. Take from who you are and give to what they are going through to make their life easier, but all the while they just drive you nuts with their personality. Now, here's the thing. If you're watching us online, here's what I need to know. I'm going to give you an example. If you have a situation that drives you nuts, tell us about it right now. Like, yes, while I'm preaching, I want you to type it out. Because I was thinking, who's the people that drive me nuts all the time? And the first one that came to mind is the person driving in the left, in the fast lane, and they shouldn't be. Right? Okay. Thank you. Absolutely. But that's not the person. That's not the person. And then I started thinking, we all have family and relatives, but it's awkward because they may be watching right now, so I can't give that example. But then I realized who it is. It is the person in the checkout line that they put all their stuff onto the counter for it to go through. And by the way, I'm not talking about a mad dash on toilet paper because of coronavirus. I'm talking about everyday Joe Blow, they went to do their grocery shopping. Then all of a sudden, everything's done, and the person behind the counter says, $92. And they go, oh, and they start searching through their pocket or their purse to start pulling out money to then flip through their wallet to find the specific card. And my mind is simply asking this question. Are you really shocked that you're going to have to pay for your groceries now that you're done shopping? You didn't see this when you got out of your car, walked into the store, and picked up the first item, thought to yourself, I'm going to have to pay for this? Now I'm standing behind you because... That didn't get deleted out. I deleted myself out on that. I'm very happy. That's the person I don't have patience for, because I want to say you are so self-centered, self-focused, and self-clueless that you are unaware that everybody coming through this line is going to need to check out, and you act like it was a surprise. Those people drive me nuts, because there is no excuse for it. There isn't. Let us pray and close. No. But here's the thing. What happens with that person if God says to me, I think you should mercy them at this time period? Would I be willing to set aside, let's just say my prejudice, like would I be willing to set it aside in order to actually mercy that person at that time? So we need to actually, so we're going to continue to talk about the act of mercy, but in the act of mercy, when you have to deal with difficult people because they're all in our life all the time, and here's the one thing I did, I promise you, I looked all through the New Testament with Jesus, and every person that I read about, if it being a tax collector who was selfish, if it be a woman caught in adultery or at a well who was broken, if it be a lame man who had shame and guilt, whatever it might be, Jesus never responded poorly to them. He always dealt with the person he was dealing with, and he had mercy to be able to give them, and their personality never controlled what he set out to do. And so the thing I would say is, the first thing we should do, and by the way, this is your first blank on page 82 here, look behind their behavior. We've all heard this phrase before. This is in your book. Hurt people hurt people. We must look past their behaviors and see their pain. What pain are we talking about? The pain that made them who they are. The pain of the past, the brokenness, the mom who walked out, the dad that abused, the brother who was angry all the time, the babysitter who should have protected them but actually abused them. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But my question is, can we look past their behavior into their past to see who they really are? And I love this. When a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. But smart people will ignore an insult. Or do me a favor, take your pen right now. In your book, scratch out the word smart. Yes, I'm having you change the Bible. Ready for this? I'm going to have you add the word merciful people will ignore an insult. Because if you were there with the intent to mercy someone, are you really going to allow a single insult to detour you from what the God-given mission is that you're on? And then here's the other thing, if I can just be honest with you. There's something that happens to you when you find out the backstory to them. I recently was a part of some classes, and while I was at these classes, there was this one individual who would always show up late. When he showed up, he would sit down in the chair, he would slump way back, he would sometimes throw a hood up, and occasionally fall asleep. And what stinks is, as a class, we needed to move forward, but you're only going as fast as your slowest person, which, by the way, if you're ever being chased by a bear, that's a bit of knowledge you need to, you know, that joke made no sense. Let's just move on. So as a class, I'm paying for these. I want to get these classes moving forward. And there was always this one individual. And I got to the point of, dude, you don't have to be here. Like, this was your choice to be a part of this class in order to be a better person. And I was always getting frustrated. And even the person, the teacher, at one point challenged my thinking on it of, hey, see how far you can go without him. Well, I can't go any faster because he's not. And then one night I had an opportunity to talk to him. And in talking to him, I find out about his past. And by the way, here's just a very small part of his past. He remembers being 7 years old. His dad would throw massive parties. And one of his dad's party tricks was to bring him down to the basement and have him do shots of tequila and show his friends how his 7-year-old son doesn't make a face when drinking hard alcohol. And all of a sudden I realize, dude, how are you alive? Like, how are you upright? Like, how are you even caring about bettering yourself? So if you're coming in late, I'm proud of you for coming. And if you even speak up, I'm proud of you for having your head up. And it was amazing what happens when I was willing to get to their backstory, how much it changed my desire to actually want a mercy and want to be able to give to that individual. And so are you willing to the person that you are to show mercy to, who's a difficult person, are you willing to take a little bit of your time to actually connect with who they are so you can let them know whose they are? And so the second thing is in our notes on page 82 is this: refuse to be offended. Boy, isn't that, have you ever heard the pastor say it preaches by the mile, but you got to live it by the inch? There's your phrase right there. Guys, just stop being offended. It's that easy. No, it's not. It's just not. For me to be able to say, but hang on a second, here's a really fancy sentence for you. Well, your emotion and spiritual maturity is largely measured on how you treat people who mistreat you. Well, yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that I've been mistreated. And then have you, here's a question, and I think you'll be able to jump on board. This actually is possible. Have you ever said the phrase, you make me so mad? Okay, so let's reword that. You've taken my power and you're controlling me. Right? If you were to say the phrase, you make me so mad, you just took my control, you took my power, you took my volition, you took my free will, and now you're controlling me. We as individuals, we need to get that power back. We need to get that emotion back because you are in control of you, no one else. And the moment they're easily offending you, I would say this, then you've given up your free will to make choices for yourself, so you will be. But listen, watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. Proverbs 21:23. And listen, I love to give the women a bit of advice here, but the only thing is, I'm a dude, I'm a man, I'm a guy, I'm a male. And here's what I know, this is so true. I can't tell you how many fights, and I know right now you're going to want to get on, send a little note. I can't believe Pastor would say this to his wife. This is not a time to be interactive. We don't want to hear from you. I don't want to, like, get off your keyboard. But there are actual times in my life, and men, if you could just, a little amen here might help me, that you are in the middle of a fight with your loved one, and you were deep enough in the fight where you decided, well, I'm going to say everything now. Right? You're going to go ahead and just let it. I'm here. I'm already in trouble. So I'm giving it all to you. And I'll promise this now. You will save yourself a lot of grief is the truest Proverbs that you've ever read. Why? If I learn to hold my tongue and keep my power. Right? But so often we fly off the handle because we got offended. And the way to get back to them is to get back at them. But it's better, and he, by the way, here's how powerful the Bible says a man who is patient, a woman who is patient. It is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to have self-control than to conquer an entire city. So think of a warrior, think of a legion of soldiers coming into the city, and they're going to conquer it, and all these weapons that are against it, these walls are built up, and you do it, and you're standing there, and you're conquered, and you now own it. And the Bible says the guy who stood over there and kept his mouth shut is more powerful than that. Because why? The mouth, the tongue is a powerful tool. So here's what we need to learn how to pray. God, give me a tender heart and a tough hide, because how many know most often we have a hard heart and a thin skin? So God, how is it that we can give this? And by the way, in Proverbs 19, it says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It's his glory that overlooks offenses. And by the way, take your pen right now, and I'm going to have you change a word here, because there's one time in the Old Testament where this word glory is actually translated bravery. And so you could actually read this scripture like this: a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his bravery that overlooks an offense. What do you need in your life to overlook an offense? Well, if you're weak-minded, if you're thin-skinned, if you're hard-hearted, you will take that offense, but it takes a brave person to overlook it. So let's raise up our bravery today to understand what it takes to mercy someone. And then here's the other thing. I love this, top of page 83. Let's cut them some slack. How many times in our life we just need some slack cut? And I've already told you I've made it bonehead comments to my wife. Here's one for you. Normally on Sunday mornings, I preach back-to-back sermons. Now, this Sunday is a little different because we're only live streaming our service, but it's actually been produced ahead of time. So this Sunday, I'm actually enjoying this sermon right with you. Actually, I don't know if I'm enjoying it. It's weird watching myself, but I think I'm enjoying it. So I'm enjoying my sermon with you. But traditionally on Sundays, here's what my wife knows. When I get done coming up to church at the time I get here, doing two services, shaking hands, hugging necks, bumping elbows, whatever the Corona tells us to do at this time. Like by the time that gets done, when I come home, I need a nap or I need downtime, lay around time. My wife on Sunday afternoon, she cuts me slack. Why? Because I just know that we need space. But how many times, if we've taken time to get to know someone, even though they've said boneheaded things that should offend us, but it doesn't, how many times do we meet a difficult person where we go, you know what they need? It's just a little bit of space. And by the way, I love this, be patient with one another and making allowance for one, each other's fault because of love. Why can I cut you a break? Why can I cut you to slack? Because I love you enough to give you room. I love you enough, and it goes on to say this in James 2:13, the man who makes no allowance for others will find none made for himself. There's an age-old thing that the Bible talks about, sowing and reaping. If you need it, you better give it, because if you need it at that moment and you never gave it, no one will have it to give it to you. So sometimes we just cut each other slack because there's times in our life where we need it. And I have to be honest, this is God's honest truth. Of everything that I studied for this week, this one I think is the easiest one for me to actually accomplish, to cut people slack. But it's because of a special note that I made here. And it's easy for me because I believe most people are clueless about who they really are. And I know that may sound harsh, that may sound mean, but there's very few people that are so epistemologically self-aware that they know who they are, why they are, and why they do what they do. But the problem is, I've had a ton of counseling in my life, and not near enough, just so you know, I'm still going, but like in this moment. And here's what I know about myself. I really like me. And actually, I'll take it a step further. Just so you know, whenever I'm in a conversation, it's very easy for me to become the difficult person because I think I'm more entertaining than you. Can I be that honest? Not only do I think I'm more entertaining you, no matter what story you tell me, in my brain, I have a better story that I could top your story. I do. And then if you are having a story, I have things that I can add to your story to make it funnier. Because this is who I am all the time, because I am a very selfish person and I'm insecure, so I need to make my life look spectacular in order for you to validate me. So I'm very aware of who I am. Is this too honest? Am I okay here? So I'm very aware of who I am. So most of the time, if I'm engaged in a conversation with someone, in order for them not to cut me slack, I have actually trained myself that when I'm talking to you, most of the times I try to ask a question back. Because I actually do want to know more about you, and I'm interested in your story and who you are. But it's so easy for me to slip back into dumb David. And by the way, you don't need to type anything on that one either. I need no interaction right now. But it's so easy to fall back in that fall David, because we as individuals are always needing. But how about the person that's needing but completely unaware of who they are? Are we willing to cut them slack in that moment? In order for them to possibly, ready for this, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive that person who offended you. And why are we doing this? Because the Lord forgave you. That comes out of Colossians 3:13. And then here's the next one. Ready for this? The next fill in the blank. This may be the toughest one for some people. You refuse to gossip about them. So there's some scriptures here. And talking about, and this is, it's true and we all know it, gossip is like a log that you're throwing on a fire, and the person who's on the other side, they're the one stoking it, and they're just going to constantly stir that flame. And I'll tell you, Of all the ones, you know, in telling you about cutting the slack, that's the easiest one for me. But when it comes to gossip, I just can't stand gossip. If you can ask anyone on the staff or the directors, anyone that's around here, I just can't stand gossip. I feel like it's an absolute waste of time. I've never seen fruit out of anybody who gossips over someone else. Now, if you want to know a definition of gossip, this is mine kind of collaboration of what other people have said. It's basically anytime you have a situation and you go with information with someone who's not directly involved or someone who's not a part of a solution. Anything outside of that is gossip. So if you have a problem with someone and you're going to talk to them, well, you can't be gossiping because you're dealing with it. If you're seeking advice from someone, and this is such a gray line, because how often are you seeking advice versus just getting off your chest versus telling someone else because they need to know about it? Like, there's a really gray line there on gossiping. But here's what I found. Anytime we're making a decision here at the church, I've actually found it's a pain in the rear end if I start telling everybody my half plans. Because I'm telling everybody my half plans, but halfway through, our half plans begin shifting and changing because they were only half plans because they're not full plans yet. But then I have to remember, what part of the story did I tell you? What part of the story did you? What part of the story did I tell her? And then I need to go back and tell everybody, did I tell you and did I update you on this? And then it's a whole lot of work on my side to keep everything straight from all the information I disseminated out. So sometimes when we're making plans as a church, guess what? Myself, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Brent, we keep it real small. Why? Because it takes a lot of work to get all the stories straight. Why would I tell you that example? I think the same thing true happens with gossip. As you go and you give someone a little information and give someone a little information, I tell you, but then I got updated and what did I tell you? And I need to keep you up on this. And did you hear the latest? And now you're going back and you're never accomplishing anything. And the worst thing that happens, this is the worst thing that can absolutely happen when it comes to gossip, is I come to someone and tell them the half bit of process I've been going through, get to the backside to find out I had information wrong, and never have the ability to come back and change the story with this person. Now they have half truth that they're believing about something that isn't even out there. Now, did you help them or hurt them at this point? I kind of feel like I went way down a rabbit trail on this one, but I will tell you this. If you're ever a part of Navigation Church, you never want to gossip around me or my team. It doesn't benefit. It breaks down trust. And here's the other truth you need to know. If I'm willing to gossip about you, if I'm willing to gossip with you about someone else, just know I'm probably willing to gossip with them about you. And it just absolutely breaks down relationships. And so difficult people, the problem is, difficult people are easy to gossip about. Because chances are, if I come to you, if I come to her, and I just say, hey, did I tell you about, you know, Larry over here? They're probably going to say this. I know Larry's an idiot. Like, man, Larry, Larry, Larry. And by the way, if you're out there and your name's Larry, please type on them right now. Type, I need to know that Larry's out there. I'll find a new name. Then we as a community come up with a new name for me to always reference. And I don't know what it'll be at this time. If it's like Belshazzar, it's way too long, you know, so we can't do that. But here's what we have to know. When it comes to gossip, the Bible takes it this serious in Romans 1:29. It's actually a form of retaliation when the Bible says this, gossip is equal to murder. So if I'm supposed to mercy someone, how can I mercy them if I'm busy retaliating against them? It will absolutely wash away the foundation of your ministry that you're wanting to move out in. So we just have to absolutely refuse to gossip. Ready for this one? Refuse to play their game. Why? Because sometimes when it comes to difficult people, they like drama. Don't do drama. They will hook you in to their game. So right now, if anyone right out there, if you post something that is controversial on our stream right now, if you come and you from Twitter on, here's the one thing that you're going to learn. We don't debate. If you ever want to have an honest conversation, and I don't care if you're cynic, you're cynical, or anything else, if you ever have a conversation, we'd love to tell you why we know what we know and why we believe it. But just to have an argument with you, I've never found it to be beneficial. And actually, the other day, this is true. So I was on Facebook, the Facebook for you older people. I was on Facebook, and while I was on Facebook, this pastor posted something that was really stupid. And you might go, well, Pastor, that's your opinion. No, I did scientific evidence. It was a stupid comment. And I typed it and said to my wife, I think I'm going to post this back because I took what he said, I broke it down line by line, I disproved it with scripture, as well as the fallacy in his own statement. It broke down as he typed it. And so, I mean, it was just, hey, this is really dumb, and here's why. And my wife goes, you shouldn't do it. It's not worth it. And I'm like, yeah, but this one's easy. It's so dumb, this will be easy for me to do. So then I went ahead and said, okay, honey, I believe you. Click, and I hit enter. Meant to hit delete. No, I didn't. I meant to hit enter. And I posted it, and I put it back out there. Within no time, he responded back. And I was expecting to see, man, Pastor, you came with a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight. I feel your grace, and I'm going to allow you to mercy me in this area, right? And no, you know what he did? He responded with something completely different than what he originally posted. And he never once actually came against anything that I said. He completely changed to a different argument, different conversation, different thought. And I realized, you can't argue with idiots. And I know you may feel like I'm trying to offend you right now. I'm not. If someone is always about arguing, they're never about truth. They're about the argument. And they think they're having impact in their world because they're having someone talk to them. Little do they know, they're just a difficult person. And so there's a sentence here that I'm going to have you take your pen and fix one thing. It says, sometimes the most merciful thing you can do is walk away from an argument. See, I don't actually think that's mercy. I don't think that's the correct definition. So scratch out merciful and write this. Sometimes the most sane thing you can do is to walk away. And what if that person needs to feel the loss of a friend? What if that person needs to feel something different than you planned on mercying them with? We don't know what God will do, but I do know this. I don't see it through the scripture, and I have no personal testimonies of ever winning someone to the Lord because I beat them in an argument. But I knew plenty of stories of me mercying people, me loving people, Jesus mercying people that have brought plenty of people to his grace. So sometimes you just have to refuse to take the bait, and then you always take the high ground. Because, listen, you have to have 100% control over your response. And the best thing to do is take the high ground. The worst thing to do is get even. If you're getting even with them, that means you felt like they were below you because they hurt you. But the moment you get even with them, you're no longer above them. You are even with them. I thought you wanted to be better than them. So you take the high road. And here's our actual scripture of the week. And this may be weird for you at home, but I'm going to ask you to do this. It's going to be mercy triumphs over judgment, James 2:13. And I'm going to ask you to just say it with me right now. We're going to say it two times back to back because the first time you're not going to be real energetic. You're going to wonder if the person with you is actually saying it. They will, then you'll be more energetic for the second time. Ready for this? Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13. Let's say it again. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13. On your bookmark, you'll find that scripture, but that's the scripture I want you to embed in yourself because when you're dealing with difficult people, it's easy to judge them. It's easy to attack them. It's easy to come against them. But mercy triumphs over all of those things. So how is it that we can actually always take the high road? So the last couple scriptures on your book here, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Right above Romans 12, I want you to write this. Three ways to take the high ground. I'm going to kind of change the notes up here, and I looked at these scriptures, it seemed like three easy steps. So how is it that you can take the high road? Number one, Romans 12:14. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. And by the way, if you don't like the word persecute, scratch that out and put right, irritate you. Bother you. Check out slowly in the line in front of you, despite the fact that they knew it was coming the entire time they were in the store. That may goes on a couple lines. That was a little longer sentence. But you scratch out persecute. Ask God to bless those who irritate you, persecute you. Yes, even ask him, ready for this? To bless, not curse. Step number one of taking the high road, you pray for him. I cannot stay mad at my wife, at a checkout person, or any other situation if I truly get into an attitude of prayer. It is absolutely impossible. So step number one, how do you take the high road? You pray for them. Number two, if someone has done you wrong in Romans 12:17 through 18, Do not repay him with a wrong. Try to do whatever everyone considers to be good. Do everything possible on your part. So this means we have to think. We have to be aware of our behavior. And so often our behavior is an immediate response because of an action taken upon us, and we never take time to process it through our brain. On this, do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everyone else. Step two, when it comes to mercying different people because you're deciding to take the high ground, you have to think about it. And then, of course, the final one, you're going to have to make an action. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. Take a step, take an action, and actually do something that is good in your actions. And so how is the high road the good advantage? Because the moment you're on the high road, you're going to have a better vision of who this person is. You're going to see behind their behavior. And when you see behind their behavior, it's easy not to get offended because it's literally who they are. What they're saying to you may not actually be an attack against you. What they're saying to you may just be an action of because of who they are and what they believe. And then guess what? When you know who they are, because you're taking a higher road and you know the behind story, it's easy to cut them some slack. Why are you coming in late? Why are you sleeping through class? Man, I'm just happy that you're here. I'm just happy. It's easy for me to cut you and slap there. And because I know your story, the last thing I'm going to do is gossip about you. The last thing I'm going to do is actually give you some power or give you more woundings in your own personal soul, which of course brings us to those last two points. We're on the high road because we refuse to play their game. Ready for this? There's some difficult people in your life that you're just not going to be able to mercy. I know that's a very hard thing to say, but I think it's a true thing to say. It doesn't mean that they'll never receive mercy. See, I wouldn't want you to put that in the category of pastor just said there's someone out there that you can't help. That's not what I'm saying. But maybe you're not the answer. Maybe it's the one coming behind you. So there are times that you may have to walk away. But my guess is if God's put you in a place to deal with a difficult person because you intend to take out of the essence of who you are to make their life better, my guess is he's going to equip you to deal with that difficult person. And here's why I believe that. Because there was one time in all of our lives, and everyone sitting in here, I know your story, so I'm talking to you. There was a time in your life that you were the difficult person. Now, it may not have been a personality thing. It may not have been a behavior thing. But it was this. It was a sin thing. And God loved you so much that he didn't just take pity on you, but he graced you by moving into your life. But when he got there, he didn't just keep feeling sorry for you. He pulled out of who he was by dying for you on a cross and mercying you. Because yet while you were still a sinner, God wanted to mercy you. He wanted to pay a price for you to have a relationship with him. And so I'm going to do two things here real quick. One, I want to pray for you at home. And by the way, if you're listening right now and there's a specific prayer request coming out of this, and I need to encourage this. If it's a specific person, please don't tag them. Please don't put their name down. Just say there's an individual at my office. There's someone who I keep running into. There's someone of my past that I can't. Anything like that. Please take a moment. Let us know someone we can be praying for you about when it comes to being a difficult person, but yet they're always on your heart, and maybe they're the person you're supposed to mercy. Please allow us to be praying with you about that. Give us a quick note. If you're not in a social media platform where you can send this out right now, you can always send it at a different time through our website. But here's the other thing I want to do. Maybe you're sitting at home with your family and Navigation Church has been your home for a long time. This might not pertain to you. Maybe this is the first time your children are going to hear it from me. I encourage you to silence them for a moment. Focus in on your screen. Maybe you're here because you've just seen us all over social media today and streaming, and you want to know more about who we are as a church and how we're responding to this coronavirus thing. Here's what I want to tell you. That there's a God in heaven that's mercied you. And you can't afford to go to heaven. And I'm sorry to say it that way. You can do all the good acts that you want, all the good deeds that you've desired. You can make all the money in the world and give it to every poor, hurting victim. And it's not enough to pay the price. But here's the greatest thing. The ticket that you do need to buy is completely free. It's free for you to receive. It's free for you to take because it was purchased by our God, Jesus Christ, when he came out of heaven. And by the way, this is the time called Easter coming up, and he died for you. And upon dying for you, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life, he laid down his life so that you could have a life worth living. Not only a life worth living, a life where your eternal soul will be forever saved. And so if you're listening to me right now and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, normally I ask you to bow heads and close eyes, but listen, church is where you are. And you're not surrounded by a lot of people. You may be by yourself. You may be with a nav group. You may be, I don't know where. But I'm going to ask you to just look right at this screen as I look right at you. And I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, today is the day that I recognize that I need mercy. And I freely receive the gift that you have for me. Become Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins, and from this day forward, I will forever be known as a follower of Jesus. God, I thank you for every person who said that prayer right now. I believe that today we will see those who let us know that they prayed that prayer for the first time. I also thank you, God, that we will, despite our distance geographically, Holy Spirit, you are close relationally. So I just bless that individual right now and those people out there that received your Savior. Now, I pray for all of us, God, let us not forget about our mercy. Let us not forget about the projects that we need to continue to do and intentionally look at blessing, especially during this time. I speak against fear that would be in anybody's life about this coronavirus going around and the state of our nation and say, God, you are in control. And I won't become a difficult person because I have a lack of faith and I'm freaking out about everything. God, I stay assured that you are in control. But I also pray for anyone who's out there right now who maybe has contracted this disease, that you're afraid of this thing. I just bless you right now and I pray that the Spirit of God rests upon your life and you get a peaceful night's sleep and the stress that you've been living with goes away. I pray for all of our doctors and medical individuals. I pray for our military who's been on lockdown. I pray that the safety of their families, the health of their families continue to grow. And so, God, in this state, I know that I can say all of this and pray all of this boldly because, God, I know the level of mercy you're willing to pour out. Now, help me today, God, be willing to pour it out the same. Help me willing to give it to someone else. I say all this in your mighty name. Amen. Hey, I'm so happy that you joined us. If you gave your life to Christ today, please take a second. Send us a note. Let us know about it. The other thing is, whatever we can be praying for you for, please just type it in any of the social media platforms, website, emails, however you need to get the message for us. We'd love for you to know it. We appreciate you watching us where you are. Stay tuned for more just live streaming things throughout the week as we encourage you and help you take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.